I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship. The Apostle Paul here begs the church in Rome to use their bodies, use their life as a living sacrifice. And the way you walk, and the way you talk, and the way you act, and the way you go to church, and the way you wave to people and high five and hug and all that kind of stuff. Use all of that stuff as a way to show people that you love Jesus. I thought about that, so when I was in my deacon's meeting this morning, I said, here's what we can do. So let's all do this together. Grab your phone. And what I want you to do right now is just text this to your friend or your family member you haven't seen in a while. And what I want you to do is just say, hey, I owe you a cup of coffee. So you're either going to take them out for a cup of coffee, drop a cup of coffee by, take them out to eat, drop off a bucket of chicken, and then that will be your spiritual act of worship. And then when your family member or friend sees that, they'll know that you're living for the Lord. Amen? I think a lot of times it's also it's important that we do the acts that the Bible says we're supposed to do. I think we're good about listening. I think we're good about being at church and all these kind of things. But sometimes we need to go a step further and actually walk that out. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by grace, that means favor, given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Amen. Amen. So don't think of yourself so like you're, oh man, I'm so great. You know, that's what he's saying. We would call it, when I was in high school, we'd call it being conceited. I don't know if they use that anymore, conceited. And you know how you'd know you were, I told you this before, I'm living out my high school years. You would know you're going to have a good day if your hair looked good. Man, if you could get that joker to feather like you wanted it to, you're like, oh, yeah, I hope everybody sees this. It's going to be a good day. I'm looking pretty dang good. He doesn't want you to be thinking like that. I just brought that up. You guys have outgrown that. Some of you have. For by grace given to me, I say that among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. So sober judgment here is not necessarily being intoxicated with, you know, stimulants or anything, but sober judgment, that means not having your mind polluted by the worldly view. You know, sometimes we like getting around a bunch of people that think like us just to pump our ego up. And he says, each according to his measure of faith that God assigned, for as one body we have many members, so it's one body, it's the body of Christ everywhere, is those who are baptized in the blood of Jesus Christ. And the members do not all have the same function. So though many are one body in Christ and individual members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given, and let us use them. Look at your neighbor now and say, let us use them. Say it like you mean it. Let us use them. So grace is favor. So God's given us this favor, and it's a different gift for each person. It's teaching, it's exhortation, it's inviting people to church, it's picking people. All these things, we're supposed to use them. And if you don't use them, I think that you develop spiritual atrophy. Sometimes these muscles quit working and we need to exercise them. So I appreciate you guys doing that today. So we use them, if prophecy in proportion with our faith, if service in our serving, in teaching, one who is in teaching, the one who exhorts in exhortation, that means encouragement, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal. So here's another word before we get into the message. When we get into a fervent spirit, we'll be talking about passion. So go ahead and say that word so you're ready. Passion. So these are things that God wants us to be passionate about. So many times now, I think, as we grow into our jobs as parents and grandparents, when you interview your children, sometimes we think they lack passion. We just, you know, you're just like, let's do some, maybe your dad or your mom did this, or maybe you're doing this with your children. Hey, how did school go today? It was okay.
Did you hear what I said? It's okay. How'd you do on the test? I did all right.
How was lunch today?
It was all right.
And on and on and on. How was softball practice?
It was okay.
And on and on and on. So what my response shows my lack of passion for school. So if somebody asks you how your life's going in Jesus, be passionate about it. Say, it may have started out rough, but I believe God's going to change it, and it's going to end up being a good day today. Amen? Be passionate about the Lord. And we'll teach Gary to be passionate too. Amen. So, you know, this passion for the Lord is also something that's very contagious. People like it when people are passionate. And sometimes, here's what I say. It's time today. When we get into the book of Acts, you'll find out that it's time to use all these gifts to glorify the Lord. Amen. So, and then he goes on in verse 8. He says, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity. We're getting ready to take up the offering. The one who leads with zeal. The one who acts of mercy with cheerfulness. It's hard for me to get on board with people or doing things and they don't have any joy in their heart. Or they don't have any smile or any, and you're just like, man, don't you enjoy life at all? And some people don't. And I've heard more stories as of late as you have about people that have had their joy taken from them and there's stress and there's pressure and closed down and people inside and all that, man, it's going to be hard to express joy to one another until we get out and we see and we meet one another and wave to people and say hello, however you do it. I think it encourages one another, don't you? Yeah. So let me finish this up here. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, which means hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And do not be slothful in zeal, but be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Stop for just a second. Here we are with fervent. I told the church in the last service, fervent means to be passionate. And I heard a message one time that I'll never forget. My life has been changed because of it. Adrian Rogers preached a message on James chapter 5. And if you don't know, he has got to be the top two Southern Baptist preachers of all time. The guy is absolutely phenomenal. So he preaches out of James chapter 5. And it goes something like this. The fervent, effective prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And that's King James Version. He says, the fervent prayer, or the fervent, let's say you're fervently seeking and serving the Lord. What that is fervent means passionate, and it means stretched out. So I'm going to ask you to rise, and then I want you to envision this. And here's what he said. I hope I can mimic what he says. Passionate, Terry, what it means like this. So passionate means, close your eyes and picture this, a racehorse running the last couple feet of a mile and a quarter race. The horse is sweating, the jockey's pouring it to him, he's sticking it on him, and that horse is striving and striving. And then the last couple of feet, that horse stretches out. Say it with me, class. It stretches out to the finish line. I mean, watch this. I mean, with everything it's got, not holding anything back, that jockey is just giving it to him. Amen. And a lot of races are just won by a nose. Or sometimes, you can drop the lights down, Jackie. Sometimes it's a photo finish. That's to watch this, Tina. I'm just going to say, that could separate you today from success and failure. Amen. What I want you to do, what I'm going to pray today, is that we're going, not necessarily towards the finish line, but pretend this is where we're headed. We're going towards the finish line, and we're stretched out with everything we got. Today, we're going to give everything we got to the Lord. We're going to be stretched out. We're going to be fervent. We're going to be passionate. So let's pray together. And you envision that. I'm just kind of copycatting my brother Adrian Rogers. What a picture, Lori. What a picture. Can you imagine
if your family and my family and these families would go towards the finish line, just like that racehorse. How beautiful are they, guys, when they're running and they're doing what God created them to do. Is anybody listening to my message today? They're doing exactly, that's what God birthed these horses to do, to stretch out and really get after it. What a shame it would be if that's all we ever did was just keep that horse in the stall. But thank God there are wonderful people out there. They're training them and they're stretching them out to do exactly what God called. We're stretching them out. And they're so happy and they're so passionate and they're so, church, they're so alive. They're going, man, I'm doing what God birthed me for. Man, that's good. And watch this. I'm stretching a little bit further than I've ever stretched before. For the finish line. So let's pray on that note. And you be raising your hand or your spirit or the nod of the head if that's you today. Just like, I know you've stretched out before and I know you've been there. I know you have. But I'm asking today that you stretch. And maybe today it's just by a nose. Maybe today it's a photo finish, but when they review the film, watch this. Watch this, Mrs. Chittenden. When they review the film, you'll be able to roll that back and go, she was praying with every dang thing she had. I mean, I think that's what it's about today, is passion. So, Father God, I pray that you hear our prayer, and thank you. You've already got that servant at home, our brother Adrian Rogers. He's already at home. He's preached the messages, and we pray, Father God, that we cling on to some of them, that we be like the racehorses that are stretched out, going after you today, and we're doing that with a fervent prayer and a fervent spirit, a passionate spirit. So bless the day today, bless the offering today, and my friends who are here, that they live with passion like never before. And also that the offering would be blessed too. In Jesus' name, amen. So would you applaud him with passion today and show him that you love him? Let the offering be picked up. You may be seated. All right. So there's a lot of cool things. So I added something to this service. So if the Warrenton service or the 8:30 goes, oh man, he didn't do that in our service. So don't tell him that he did it. And I'm just going to pray right now. I'm going to place my hand on my Bible. Lord, we just ask that you ask the message to come alive in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts 1, verses 1 through 8. Early church. So you go, man, I wonder what happened after the Last Supper and what happened on Good Friday and what happened after the resurrection, all that stuff. This is what happens after that. So I want to tell you that story. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. Dr. Luke, writing his second book to his friend Theophilus, giving him the facts, talking about the movement, talking about the supernatural experience of the Holy Spirit. It was displayed, it was absorbed. It was real. It's exciting. I want to talk to some people who want to get on the edge today for Jesus. Just like right up here, like where you. Do you ever do that? Like when you get up, like where something's really high. Let's do this together. Like, you know. So heights scare most people. They scare most people. It's like, oh, yeah, hallelujah. You know, Grand Canyon, whatever, is off a cliff or whatever. Oh, yeah, man, look, and take a picture of me. I'm over here. And then something draws you, like, towards the edge. And kind of sometimes you start like this. You look around, and then you look down to see how far it is. You're like, oh, man, that's far. I want somebody that's been up high. There's something in you, or at least a couple of you, that would like to hang your toe over the edge of that joker. A couple, I didn't say there's like three here, I know. It's wrong, and you shouldn't do it, and it's dangerous. If your mom was there, she's like, don't do that. And you're like, man, you know what? My mom's not around. Maybe I need to like put my foot over it. You ever want to do that? this is what it looks like. You're like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and do it.
And today may be the first day, like you've been back to church or whatever, you were, you know, you didn't feel good, you were sick, you were afraid and all this kind of stuff, and you're here and all that kind of stuff. It's almost like, you know, like some people, you know, like I was doing, and I've been telling you about this. I did my uncle's funeral the other day. And I went in there like, in the funeral home, and everybody was in there and like, man, that dude doesn't have a mask on. And he's the preacher. Oh. It's like I was going to preach something all over him, you know. They go, we can't kick him out because he's doing the message. Hey, man. They go, man, that dude likes to color outside the lines. We can already see that. But just watch me for a second. Do this with me in your spirit. See. My daughter called me. And she said, Dad, she says, in my patriotic class down here, they got to do different things and learn how to be a Christian, learn how to be an American, and learn about being a soldier and things of valor and things of honor. And they run a mile and they do push-ups and sit-ups. And then the other day, they had to rappel down a 50-foot wall. And I got video of it. And she's like, and nobody is going to enjoy going over a wall just on a rope. But she said, Dad, when I was up there, and I didn't want to do it, she said, but I know you would tell me to do it. That's what I want to tell you guys to do today. I want you to go there in your spirit. I want you to, and when she sent me video of that, and then after I watched it and everything, I told her, I said, now watch this. I said, now you can do anything. Yeah. You didn't get it, you said something. After you beat that, now you go, now what? That's the church I want to talk to today. You're like, you know, like, what? All right, I did that. What's up? What's next? I'm here at church. What's up? That we need to get there. I'm not telling you go out and be silly. I'm just telling you to, God's asking for you to act out just a little bit. I mean, everybody through the world's acting out, and they're doing all kinds of things and all that. I think it's time for the body of Christ to act out just a little bit. Yeah. Amen. So he writes this book, and we'll get into it, and we'll break it down. It's going to be very fun. It's going to be also very informative. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up. And after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit, so it's written in the Holy Spirit, it's received in the Holy Spirit, it's preached in the Holy Spirit, you need to receive it in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And here's the deal, if the Holy Spirit isn't here, Fincher, we got a lecture hall. That's all you got. All these things need to happen in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what makes somebody want to rappel off a 50-foot wall? Somebody that wants to live and somebody that wants to conquer fear. These people were doing this in the power of the Holy Spirit. They taken calculated risk. And let's be quite frank, in the book of Acts, some of these people went way out there in their faith for God. That's how this country was founded, with great men and women going out there and standing for God. We'll talk about that too. We're going to go, the whole deal is going to be laid out today. He presented, verse 3 says, he presented himself alive after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days. And speaking about the kingdom of God. So we know that shortly thereafter, some 10 days after, the Holy Spirit descends. And it goes like this. And while staying there, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said. So here it is. So these people are all gathered maybe in a room like this, maybe not quite this big, whether you believe it's the upper room or it was the temple or wherever it was. We don't need to argue over that. But nonetheless, the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost did happen. It's written. He says it. I believe it. That settles it. He said, you heard from me, verse 5, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He's letting them know, guys, it's going to happen. Be ready when it does. All sitting around, you go, man, hey, I'm inviting you to this church service, and I believe that somehow through the power of the Holy Spirit, God's going to show you something that he's never shown you before today in this service, and you need to expect it and believe it. It's time for you to get your toes over the edge just a little bit and go, you know what, man, I'm gonna let my fears go. And I'm talking about life, man. Life is so confined and controlled and manipulated and regulated over and over again. You know, sometimes when you get in these situations and you almost feel like you're not in America anymore. You're looking around, you're going, oh my gosh, I go, really? And people don't notice each other, and they're afraid to talk to one another and all that kind of thing. And you almost get to think that the enemy's trying to control all these people. I think that's exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to create a new way to live. So when they came together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? It's kind of like we do here in the Western world. God, are you going to fix this? God, are you going to do this? God, when's it going to happen? Over and over and over. And God said, don't worry about what I'm doing. Just do what I told you to do. Occupy. Go ye therefore. Do your job. I've already done mine. I've already came. I've conquered. I've sent my son. He's died. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You go, how are we going to do all this, Pastor? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, he's going to fill you. Then you're going to go out and be his witnesses. Amen, yeah. Church. Somebody needs to shout today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So he said, and you can read that like out of Luke chapter 19. He tells you not to be worried about these times and all this kind of stuff. Don't be worried about the end times and all that kind of stuff. He said, make sure that you're occupying what I told you to occupy and do the things I've told you to do. Verse 8, he says, but you will receive power. Say that to your neighbor, power. When the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So that means we are called to be God's voice box to a lost and dying world. And then there, right after that, it talks about the replacement of Judas Iscariot with Matthias. And then we go to chapter 2. And then here we go with Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Amen. Yes. This fire, this tongues of fire rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You go, well, hold on. I don't know about that. I don't know if he could cover this language and cover this language and cover this language and do this and do that. He's God Almighty. He can do anything. So Thursday I was in there in boxing, and I was in there. We were working with different kids and all this kind of thing. And this one young man came up, and I was working with him, and he was from Nicaragua. And I was talking to him. I can't remember what his name was. And I said, do this. And I stopped him right in the middle when I was showing him some things. I think I was showing him whatever. And I said, do you know Jesus? And he goes, yeah, I know Jesus. So even maybe there might have been a language barrier. Jesus, when you say the name Jesus, he said, oh, yeah. He said, I've known Jesus since I was a little kid. So I want you to know today that Jesus, the name of Jesus, can break any language, any financial barrier, any kind of barrier you want him to break. He can break, he can do it all, and he can do it today. And just, amen. And just when you don't think he can do it, and he'll show himself today. So I want you to expect that. So listen, so the story goes on. Verse 5 says, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven, and at the sound of the multitude came together, they were all bewildered. And I told you about that story and that bewilderment. So, and I'm watching my daughter grow as we speak, and she was raised in the church. And I told you about that. And she said she knew that God was really real when the power of the Holy Spirit came on her. And she said, I began, Dad, to cry uncontrollably. And that's when she knew God was real. It was her relationship with God. Not my relationship with God, but her relationship with God. And then she called me a couple of nights ago, and I told you this, and she said, Dad, I'm going to have to go on a mission trip. And I was like, oh, hold on. Go ye therefore, but don't send my daughter. Yeah, you ever pray that prayer like, you know, like, let's go across the nation, let's go across the world. But don't use any of my family members. Come on, I want to talk to somebody. In this climate, and this, and I'm putting it back on her as a dad. I'm going, Keelan, you know, we got a lot of stuff to do. You're singing and da-da-da, school and everything. And here's what she said, Lori. Here's what she said. She said verbatim, Dad, there are people all over the world who really need to hear about Jesus.
Yeah.
So when the Holy Spirit has filled you and prompted you and pushed you, even out of your daddy's church, you'll go do things in his name that you never thought you could do. Yes. But watch this. You have to make yourself available. You have to go, hey, God, I'm ready to be used. And here's the deal. You never know where you're going to end up. So listen to what he says here. So this story gets better. So they're all bewildered. We can't believe it's happening, and we can't believe it's ever going to happen to me. Will he ever heal me? Will he ever fix my finances? Will he ever fix my marriage? Will he ever fix my addictions? Will he ever fix all these things? The answer is yes, 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 yes. Turn it over to him. They were all amazed and astonished. I'm in verse 7 saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Amalekites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judah, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Pergia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome. Both Jews, proselytes, Cretans, Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongue the mighty works of God. They go, there's the mighty works of God happening, and it's not, and we don't understand everything that's going on, but we can see that he's speaking to everybody, and we're all from different parts of the world. That's amazing. That's a mighty work. Amen. My friend, that's the power of the Holy Ghost. And all were amazed and perplexed and saying to one another, what does this mean? But others were mocking, said they were all filled with new wine. Oh boy, here we go with the wine. Here we go with the wine again, with the Mad Dog or the Rosie O'Grady. Ugh. You won't drink that twice. Verse 14 is where the whole church changes. Oh, here we go with Peter. We know him. He's from the neighborhood. Yeah, he's a little antsy. He's like a Jack in the Box. I told the church, I said, he's like Ricochet Rabbit. Bing, 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 bing. He's all over the place. Did you see how I did that, the bing, bing, bing? Don't do that. It's something's different about Peter this time in verse 14, Mrs. Cope. He's not just the guy from the neighborhood or the guy with the hype or whatever. Do you ever try to talk to somebody that can't sit still? You're like, you're talking, and they turn their head and they walk away. It's like, man, I'm sorry to talk to him. I get this all the time. I'm like, can you? Elbow your husband for a second. Can you just shut off for a second? I want to tell you about where we're supposed to go to your sister's tonight. What'd you say? That's Peter. Until something happened. This time he's full of the Holy Ghost. I said, this time he's full of the Holy Ghost. There's a difference in somebody that's full of the Holy Ghost and somebody that's not full of the Holy Ghost. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, men of Judea
All who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's the only third hour of the day. That would mean 9 a.m. But this is what is uttered through the prophet Joel. So let's go back and we look at the prophecy of Joel and what's going to happen and all these things. And this is where it all kind of comes together. The message kind of all comes together. And he says these things are going to happen. And I think it's Joel chapter 22, maybe 22 through 32, and a couple thousand years ago or so. He says, in the last days it shall be. Last days, that means Jesus is back up in heaven. We're living in the last days. Right now we're living in the last days. God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Say all flesh. All flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. People will prophesy you never thought could prophesy because they're full of the Holy Spirit. Your young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Here's the deal. We need to let this happen not only in our lives, but in our church. Let the young men see vision and your old men dream dreams. We need to pray and believe that the church will be revitalized. It'll be on fire. We'll have a revival. The church will wake up. And even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit. And they shall prophesy. And I thought about this, and I thought, and you can start a little music back there, Greg. So I thought about this, and you can drop the lights down, Jackie. So I thought about this, and in my upbringing, I remember being in grade school. So you think the people that have tried to manipulate the Constitution or manipulate the Bible, I remember sliding out of my desk when I was in first grade. Everybody rise out of their desk. We're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. And we slide out of the desk. We say the Pledge of Allegiance. And we'd pray. And I think about that and I wonder what happened. What happened to America? How did we allow that to happen? And then we did it all through grade school. And I think it's just because we quit believing and we quit preaching the gospel of the Lord. So here's what I'm going to do today before you leave. I'm going to make sure that I stick it on you so you'll be without excuse. And this is what I did at my uncle's funeral. I told you that. Because I knew what he wanted me to preach. He told me, he said, if I ever die, I want you to do my funeral. And I told them the same thing. I said, here's the deal, man, before I leave here. I said, we're going to glorify the Lord. We're going to honor my uncle. And then I'm going to give you the address of where he's at. I'll teach you how to get there. And I ran through that ran through my mind over and over again how God could keep an army door gunner in Vietnam alive all those years, and for what reason. And I'll tell you what it is here in a minute. He says, you're young men shall see visions and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servant and female servant, in those days I will pour out my spirit. They shall prophesy and I will show wonders. Blood and fire and vapor and smoke, and the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, that great and magnificent day. So I saved this, the best one for last. And I'm going to ask you to rise with me. And if you have that picture, Jeannie, I'm going to ask you to put that up. And the last verse of the day goes like this. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, say it with me, class, shall be saved.
I thought about that after I got done. I thought, God, why did you keep them alive for so many years? How did you keep them alive for so many years? So all the adversity he went through, all the war that he went through. And then he reminded me, he said, I kept him alive so he could lead you to Jesus. Amen. 21 years ago, this man led me to Christ. So that Monday when I left the hospital in Quincy, Laurel, I drove back home. I drove back to the farm. And I think it was the first time in my life where I just didn't want to say anything to anybody and I didn't want to speak to anybody. And so my wife called me. She texted me. She said, are you okay? I said, yeah. I said, I'll call you later. And then I jumped on my horse, and I just rode for hours and hours and hours. And then when I got off my horse, that's the place I got off of my horse, right back there in the back of my farm in my rope pen. And I was getting ready to take a picture of my horse, and I seen, do you see the sun in the background back there? That's watch this, class. That's a long ways off back there. It's a place that I call glory. You see where it is out there? Church, you see where that is? Here's the deal. You can't get there from here. Where my uncle and your family members are and all that way out there into where the beautiful stuff is. Am I reaching anybody today here yet? I'm talking way, way, way out there. Way out into glory. And after I took the picture, I said, I wonder what my Uncle Bud's doing today. His first day in heaven. And then God said, well, I met him. And then your mama met him. That's his sister. And then he met my two daughters and the rest of my family members. He said, well, how do I get to that place? You have to trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can you, just the picture in itself, you got to point to that and get back to where your toes are just like over the edge there. You go, man, I want to, watch this. Dad, I want to go there when I die. God's got an escort service where he sends his mightiest angels to come and get you and escort you right into glory, all the way back there and beyond the sun. Man, that's a special place out there, John. That's a place where it's glory. And it goes on for days and days and days. BC, that's the place I want to go. You say, well, how do I get there today, preacher? You got to get so far outside of yourself. And you got to ask God. You got to say, hey, God, I need you. I need you to restore me, man, because I am so far from you right now. I want to know if you have a personal relationship with Jesus. Here's what I said to all Bud's family when I was up there, Terry. I asked them a question. Are you born again? And I'll ask you that question today. Are you all born again? When you die, are you going to have an escort service taking you all the way out there into glory? Man, that's a long ways out there. And maybe today's the day when you get your toes over the edge. Well, you know what, man? I'm tired of being embarrassed. I'm tired of the same old, same old. If you're tired of the same old, and you're a little embarrassed, I want you to come down here. I want to meet you right here, right on the edge of eternity. And give your life over to Jesus and start being a warrior for Christ. Let us pray today. Let me see some takers today. There you are.
And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's call on him today, church. Dear Heavenly Father, the sweet by and by is just one breath away. One breath away, my brothers and sisters in Jesus, young and old alike. You need to receive Jesus right now where you're at. How quick is death? How sudden is death? Man, I'm going to tell you what, it's so quick. So quick. I got the phone call and then one day later, it's all gone. I'm just trying to get a church ready for eternity, Karen. I just want to get you ready for eternity. That way when he calls me up in the glory, I can say, God, I cracked it on him. I put it on him. I put it on Wes and his family and Terry and Mark and BC and the Chitten. I told them all how to get there. Today it's up to you. Or how about the saints? Let me put one out there for you. You've been playing it safe. How about the saints been playing it safe? We don't want to witness anybody. We're scared right now to witness anybody. How would you like to get your boldness back? Oh, that ought to hit you right between the eyes right there. I want to get my boldness back, preacher. I want to be a warrior for Jesus. I ain't scared to be a witness for Jesus. I'm bold for Jesus wherever I go.
Yes.
Just right there, let me pray for you. So, Father God, those brothers and sisters that are ready to walk the aisle today, they want to be bold for Jesus. I pray that you insert them the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit, that they trust in you, that they operate in you, that they listen to you and get rid of the outside noise. They're not scared anymore. Raise your hand and tell the devil, I ain't scared anymore, Jack. It's time for me to march on. That's it. Go ahead, raise and be bold for Christ. Tell the devil, you ain't scared. I ain't scared anymore. I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of tiptoeing around like a little baby Christian. Father God, for the hands that are raised and the brothers that are here, we just pray for a sweet release of affirmation that they're in the right place today. So I pray that you speak to them loudly and clearly and let your name be exalted in the mighty name of Jesus. All God's people said amen.